Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A transformation is afoot. Yes, it is. And it's everywhere, isn't it? I mean, we see technology driving all kinds of changes. We've got baby boomers turning 70. We've got an economic recovery that is still underway. Housing continues to hold or improve. And the markets doing better. Good stuff. But there are transformations and things maybe that you're not aware of, things you don't see that do affect you. And one of them is the banking industry. Banking industry itself is in a transformation phase. And there are predictions of mergers and other things happening. And of course, there's new regulatory oversight that's come about after Dodd-Frank and all of that regulatory change. So we are really in a good spot today because Richard Hunt is with us. He is president and CEO of Consumer Bankers Association, the CBA. ConsumerBankers.com is the website. And prior to being in this role, Richard served in a lot of other capacities, working as with the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association, also worked in the House of Representatives as a chief of staff and district manager. But as a present role, as president and CEO of Consumers Bankers Association, they represent the retail banking industry, the folks that most people are doing business with, the retail bank. And they are very involved with this area. Since being appointed in 2009, Richard has led this organization to really expand and improve what they're doing. And so he gets called on a regular basis to testify in front of Congress and various other organizations and the industry. So we're really lucky to have Richard with us. Richard, welcome to the program.
David, thank you very much, and hello to everybody in your listening audience.
Well, thank you very much. That spans two counties on two radio stations, and of course, with the beauty of internet, we have people that are downloading and listening to this on their app, their smartphones, and also in social media on our website. So, listen, you're getting one heck of a bang for your buck today.
Terrific, thank you. I've always been told I have a great radio face.
You're doing great so far. No funny faces, please. But listen, let's dive right in here. So for the 99.9% of the listeners out there who've never heard of your organization, Consumer Bankers Association, you give us now the thumbnail of what you guys are about and why haven't most people heard of you?
Well, we've been around, David, since 1919. We're a Washington, D.C.-based organization. We obviously educate lawmakers and people in the media about the virtues of the retail banking environment. When you think of retail, you hit the nail on the head. It's the consumer-facing part of banking. It's the experience a person has when they walk into a branch. Now, that's yesterday's terminology.
Sure.
Today's terminology can be taking your smartphone out, downloading your bank's app, and having a communication with the bank that way instead of going in to your local branch. We have education services as well, and we have a conference each year, many times in Florida down in Orlando, where we have over 1,000 bankers and people in the banking industry coming together to solving problems and talking about the new frontier of banking within our industry.
Excellent. What happens when you get that many bankers all in one place? That sounds like there's a joke here. I don't have it for you, but there's a lot of work we could do here. But no, that's exciting. And so this is it's an organization that not only serves its members, but you're also doing a lot of education. I guess that's where it is it's kind of behind the scenes educating lawmakers and other people about this industry and the things that you need, and also embracing the regulatory transformations and changes, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and things of that nature.
I cannot think of any industry who is more regulated than banking, whether that's the CFPB, the new government agency created under the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010, or in front of the 535 members of Congress when you have the House and the Senate.
Wow.
Not everybody is a fan of banks, and we represent the larger banks, not the smaller banks, banks over $10 billion. As you know, banks go anywhere from, say, $50 million in assets to $2 trillion and assets. We represent that industry on the higher side. We have a fragmented regulatory environment. We have duplication among the federal regulators. We have an economy that is less than stellar. We're in a low interest rate environment. And we have this new frontier of technology as well. So this is a major transformational time to be in banking. Look, I don't need to tell you Uber has taken over your two counties, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you walk into an airport today, you can bypass the airline counter and go right to the boarding entry fee because all you need is your boarding pass on your smartphone.
Right.
Same thing that would have transpired in banking. I think you can do 99% of all banking via your smartphone.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't think you can do right now is deposit cash through a smartphone into your bank. But you can certainly go to an ATM now and deposit cash, and you can take a picture of your check
right.
and have that deposited via remote deposit capture.
It's pretty cool. The technology is fascinating to see how it develops and changes and accelerates, and it makes it very interesting to see how it plays out. What would, you know, for the listeners out there, Richard, you know, this your organization and how you guys are doing this, obviously everything is geared toward the consumer and that consumer interface that you talked about earlier. What are you seeing in the industry right now with banking and how the banks that you guys are working with, how they are adapting? You know, I know you talked about the smartphone and the ease. How are they adapting to consumer preferences and some of the things that consumers are looking for, especially in the environment you mentioned of, you know, this low interest rate environment?
Oh, yeah, you bet. And something you hit the nail on the head, it is the consumer driving this new technology. Once a person learned how to text and do FaceTime to communicate with their children or their grandchildren, the entire world of technology changed. So in the old days, banks would drive innovation and technology and sometimes consumer preference through the ATM machine. This is the opposite effect now in 2016. Once Apple and FaceTime came about, we saw the adaptation and acceptance of technology in warp speed.
Mm.
And I know there's this axiom out there that says this, the younger generation is more tech savvy than the older generation. There used to be a wide gulf, not so anymore. That gulf has now gotten so much closer to each other where everybody is doing something through technology. If you go to your local Apple store, you'll see a lot of older people
sure.
in there learning about Photoshopping or
good
how
point.
To collect their photos in photo and how to communicate with their grandkids.
Yeah.
So the adoption rate of technology is astronomical and is going to just continue to do that. So one of the things we're doing is when our banks are creating this new technology, the first place they now start is with a smartphone.
Hmm.
In the old days, it used to be online or through a desktop. But the platform, the way you look at your banking, has to be through your smartphone before it does online. We're also having the advent of smarter ATMs, where now when you walk into a branch, you don't necessarily have to go to the teller. And look, I know some people still want to go get their lollipop. They want to talk to their local teller who's been there for many years. But right now, all you have to do is go through the teller and do the vast majority of your banking services at the ATM.
Hmm. So it is a big thing about convenience and making it easier. And I got more to dig into here. So hold, Richard. We'll grab a quick break from our sponsors. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Richard Hunt, President and CEO of Consumer Bankers Association, giving us an inside view of the banking industry. ConsumerBankers.com is the website. Right back after this break.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager with Volusia Memorial Park and Funeral Home. We are committed to helping you with compassionate, professional, and personal service. When it comes to pre-planning for yourself or someone you love, a Dignity Memorial Provider is the name you can trust for all your funeral, cremation, cemetery, and memorial service needs. Recording them and sharing them with your loved ones will help ensure your final arrangements will be what you want, easing the burden on your family and friends. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there. Hey there. We are back. Richard Hunt on the line, President and CEO of Consumer Bankers Association. ConsumerBankers.com is the website. And, you know, I want to go back to the regulatory shift, Richard, if we can, just for a moment. You know, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau sounds like something out of a movie, you know, like where they do some, dunk you in water and brainwash you and send you back out to be a good little boy. But and maybe that's not far from the truth, when some people may feel that way in the under their regulation and environment. But kidding aside, how is this, you know, this new regulatory branch? They have an incredible amount of authority and power with their oversight. How is it affecting, or how will it, as it kind of goes forward, affect the consumer's experience specifically with banking?
So the CFPB is now at 1,500 employees located in Washington, D.C., created by Dodd-Frank. It is comprised of one single individual having complete control of over every single consumer protection law in the United States for every bank that's here. So we have 6,200 banks, some 300 million consumers. I've never seen an agency with this much power and lack of oversight. Mr. Richard Cordray, a fine individual from Ohio, is the first director, Senate confirmed, but there's no bipartisan commission. So what he decides is the rule that everybody has to live under. One of the main things we're concerned about is this agency may limit consumer choice. So I will take, for instance, overdraft. A consumer must opt in by law to receive this valuable service. 62% of all Americans do not have $500 to access in their savings account for a short-term liquidity need. And every once in a while, somebody may spend more than they have. We don't like that. We provide a lot of financial literacy to not have that happen. And, of course, with your smartphone, you can check your balance 24/7. But every once in a while, it does happen. And we offer a service that helps people meet their needs. We're afraid the CFPB will not allow banks to offer that product when it's all said and done, may put too many disclosures for us to offer it. I would tell you both the OCC and the FDIC eliminated a product called Deposit Advance Product. And what happened is people went from our banks in a heavily regulated industry at a cheaper alternative than payday lenders. And they went to their payday lender and their online lender as well, and that's much more costly for the consumer to get short-term liquidity needs met. Now, the CFPB in this instance is trying to help us get back in this environment, but we cannot limit choices by consumers. Washington, D.C. should not tell the local consumer what products they should and should not be able to take advantage of if the banking industry provides it in a clear and transparent manner. The onus is on us to make sure we fully explain each and every product to our customer in this heavily regulated environment. It's also very competitive. So, David, if you don't like your bank, you can always go to another bank across the street. And there are many banks to choose from, both in Florida and the entire country through online means.
Yeah, there's plenty of choice. And, I don't know. I have to confess, I don't completely understand the drive that if, you know, that the government has to get involved every single time something happens. Or, I mean, I know that there needs to be some safeguards and some guardrails, but to micromanage, you know, banking or any other industry is, definitely an overreach. And I think it does take away choice, because what you're trying to do is manage to the lowest common denominator, and it creates problems. You know, competition will keep the marketplace pretty efficient if that we can keep things a little more reasonable. So I'm sure that there are a lot of challenges that are being faced, not only in your industry, but others that may be affected. So the consumer does need to pay attention that there could be impacts in the future for the choices they have. And I guess their recourse is, kind of limited. You know, I mean, write your congressman, might write your representative, write your senator, but I mean, and vote, you know, but what else can a consumer do when they see their choices being limited?
Yeah, and this is a problematic for us because the CFPB director is appointed to a 5-year term. They can only be removed for just cause, which is never going to happen. And the way the rules of the United States Senate are written, it would take a 60-vote filibuster proof for this to be overturned through Congress. And with only 54 Republicans, 46 Democrats, and it'll be something like that, maybe reversed after the 2016 election, it would take even more than an active Congress to have something returned. And that's why CBA exists, to work with the CFPB, sit down with them, and let them know if they passed proposed rules and make them final rules, the effect this will have on both banks, but also more importantly, on consumers, on remittances. And you've got a lot of listeners who send money to loved ones in other countries for various reasons. Had we not stepped in there and told the CFPB, if you don't change your proposed rule, most of our banks would have gotten out of the remittance business entirely. So sometimes the CFPB will listen to us, sometimes they will not. I will tell you, David, at our conference not too long ago, they pleaded for bankers to go work for the CFPB because they did not have enough people in the CFPB who knew anything about the banking or banking industry. I don't think many of our bankers took them up on their offer to go work for the United States government.
Well, they may have to raise the stakes a little bit. You said there's some 1,500 folks that are working for the CFPB now?
That is correct, and half of them are in examination. And I would tell everyone, if you have a child still in your home and you're trying to find them a job, go work for the CFPB. They need good quality people.
Well, there you go. Opportunities that are sometimes just pure collateral things that pop out of regulatory change. Who says regulation isn't good? There's job creation. Well, you know what? It is all kind of, I know a little tongue-in-cheek here, Richard, but it is a reflection of, you know, where we are in our country with politics and the role of government. You know, obviously there's a lot of differences of opinion about how much our government should be in control of our day-to-day lives and also controlling, you know, our capitalist system. It's very ironic to me that China is trying to navigate and kind of make this transition with capitalism and of course also creating a little bit more of a service economy. And at the same time, we are sometimes struggling with the role of government and becoming too much in our capitalist society.
Well, I do believe there is a responsible role for government to play in our society. We have to make sure that all banks are safe and sound because have consumers' monies, and that's why I have FDIC insurance.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, I think Dodd-Frank was about 60 to 70% right. I don't believe we should have offered loans that did not require income verification or
right.
No documentation. So there was some correction that needed to be made. However, I think sometimes government goes too far. We always know when there's a crisis, Congress will do one of two things. They'll either do nothing or they will overreact. And in this instance, I think they went too far in trying to solve the crisis of 2008. You notice many of our banks are now stress tested by the Federal Reserve, 33 banks are. I think that was a great thing, that it gives a good housekeeping seal of approval to those banks who pass the stress test, that if we have a downturn, a severe downturn in the economy, that our banks would still be vibrant. Living wills also are going through the process as well. So the banking system today, David, is night and day different than it was before. We are much better capitalized, much better leveraged, and I think we're much transparent than we ever have been. I think our banking system today is as fundamental sound as it ever has been in the history of our nation. There may be another hiccup in our economy, but it will not start the banking industry.
Well, that's reassuring, and I'm glad to have you share that, Richard, because I think people have a natural concern about all those things, given what has happened in the past.
Sure.
And you make another, you know, a great point about, you know, the reaction on the part of our government. And of course, when I say our government, you know, this is our representatives that are elected to serve a role for their constituents and their where people are. And for you know, when these things happen, when a crisis occurs, you're right. Sometimes they either respond or they respond maybe in a way that is maybe overdone. And I guess there's that old saying, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste.
True.
So
very
right.
true. But you know, we're trying to make some changes to Dodd-Frank. And in the old days, any time a major piece of legislation passed, it was always bipartisan. Many times the vote would be 99-0, 100-0, 95-5. But Dodd-Frank was 100% partisan. And there's fought for the Republicans and the Democrats why this was not a bipartisan bill.
Hmm.
But every once in a while, not even United States senators can get a 1,100-page bill done correctly the first time. They're not perfect, believe it or not. I know some of them think they are, but they're not. And there are some changes the industry would like to make that would make the CFPB better, not worse, such as creating a five-person bipartisan commission where you don't have one person being the dictator
right,
of all
right,
rules.
Right.
You should have differences of opinions. But you know, David, more than anything else, when a rule comes out, they should have to stand out in front of the public and explain how they voted on the rule and why they did so.
Mm-hmm.
All we need is transparency. If they want transparency, the banking industry, which we're all for, there should be more transparency at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as well.
That seems reasonable. Well, listen, and you can, you're right. You pass legislation, and it does need to be sometimes adjusted and amended and tweaked, because these things, some of these pieces of legislation, like the one you referred to here, Richard, it's a massive piece of legislation, over 1,000 pages, and you know, a lot of times it's you can read the legislation after you pass the legislation.
And that's what happened certainly with Dodd-Frank. But not only that, but then they gave a lot of authority to the federal agencies for them to interpret what Congress said. The fastest growing segment of a bank is in compliance. David, that means lawyers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one, and I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But it's not good when we have the fastest component of the bank being enforcement and lawyers.
Well, no question. I mean, I think that you know, the compliance is very important. And, of course, I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression of our discussion here, Richard. I'm all for compliance and I'm all for regulation, but it's got to be, you know, you've got to have a little bit of a reality check on the cost of that. And you make an excellent point about that. And the last thing we need to add is the Department of Redundancy Department and incur extra costs. So I think we're on the same page there, Richard. Richard Hunt, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, President and CEO of Consumers Bankers Association. ConsumerBankers.com is a website. We'll grab another quick break, come back, and I got a few more questions for Richard. Hang right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi. I'm Tony, Chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440. For more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
And we are back. Richard Hunt on the line, President and CEO of Consumer Bankers Association, consumerbankers.com. And we've got just a minute left here, Richard. We've sucked up most of our time talking about some of the other areas, but I wanted to just get a quick thought from you on mergers. I know that there is some expectation with some of the regulatory function. We talked about compliance and some streamlining that may need to be done to compensate for that. You know, what with your consumer banking base you have, again, the larger banks, what are you seeing there about what maybe consumers should have for expectations about bank mergers and maybe how that will affect them?
It's a reality. We've seen several banks, good banks, being bought out. Huntington Bank recently purchased First Merit. It was an all-Ohio transition. We also had Key Bank by First Niagara. You've seen several community banks in the Florida and Southeast region, community banks defined as banks under $1 billion.
Sure, sure.
There was a time we had 15,000 banks and credit unions together in this country. We now have about 6,000 of each, 6,000 credit unions, 6,000 banks. And because of the technology, because of the economy, and because of the regulatory burden they're all facing, I think it's inevitable you'll see further consolidation in the banking industry. However, I think we're servicing consumers better now than ever before because of that said technology.
Well, that's a good point. And, there hopefully will remain plenty of banking choices, not just the United States Bank of America. But
yeah.
We'll watch it and pay attention. And it's great having you on, Richard. It's very helpful to have some insight into this banking industry and some of the things that are coming. And we wish you well with your organizations and your continued efforts to not only assist your member banks, but also be an advocate for the consumer.
Great. Thank you very much. It's a delight to be at CBA, and it's a delight to serve the customers in retail banking.
Thank you, sir. Richard Hunt, ladies and gentlemen, President and CEO of Consumer Bankers Association, consumerbankers.com for more information, and we thank you for being with us.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.